Oh, Father, we are living in a trying time. And we need you more than ever before. So, oh Lord, I pray that you pour out your Holy Spirit on each one of us to have ears to hear, to rekindle a flame within us, to be on fire for you, and put the worries of this world behind us and trust totally, completely in you. Thank you for answering this prayer in the hearts of each one of us. It's in Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. Do Not Disturb is the title of I chose. And, you know, it's a door hanger that we put on our motel when we're stayed. We don't want to be disturbed in the morning. We possibly on a vacation want to sleep in. And so we hang that little door hanger on the outside of the door, and hopefully we get to sleep in. We don't get disturbed. Well, do we hang a do not disturb on the door of our hearts? It's a good question. You know, Judas hung a do not disturb on his heart. It said, do not disturb, I'm running the show. That was the little line underneath it. This last week I took my phone out and Googled do not disturb, and just there was a litany of, there was just many door hangers that you can purchase. And I saved at least three to share with you. I downloaded quite a few more, but anyway, I won't have time for all those, but I will share a few of them. But I got to thinking about people in the Bible. What would their door hanger say? The rich young ruler. He thought he had his both feet in the kingdom, and when he came to the Savior, he probably didn't expect what he was going to hear. At any rate, after hearing that, the door hanger for his heart said, "Do not disturb. I need more riches. You think, what is it that's maybe on my door hanger? What was on Ananias and Sapphira's? Who? Very similar to the rich young ruler, probably, but whatever it was, their deceit in front of God, because that's who they were really in front of when they came to Peter, took their life. What a terrible door hanger. What about the Pharisees? What would their door hanger say besides do not disturb? We are in charge here. Wow. What does the door hanger on your heart say? Does it say, welcome, come in? Oh, I hope so. Is it possible, without knowing it, our actions could actually be saying something totally different? I'm going to share one I saw. And this one, might be a part of more of us than we like to admit, especially Sabbath afternoon. It says, do not disturb. Actually, it starts with, please, do not disturb. I'm sleeping. And even if I am awake, I probably don't want to see you. Ah, that one hurt. Well, you know, the Sabbath is for rest. Amen? But Is it for sleeping the whole Sabbath away? Not at all. What about this one? Do not disturb. I'm in here, you're out there. Let's keep it that way for a little while longer. How many of us say that to the Lord? Or after do not disturb, please do not come in. We are doing things that don't include you. Ooh. Wow. Wow. Let's look at our text, Revelation 3, verse 20. Let's open our Bibles to that text. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. But that is a perfect, it's a perfect understanding of God standing at the door. If you're looking at that on your bulletin, turn it to the picture on the bulletin. And notice this picture of Jesus knocking on the door. I want you to notice the door doesn't have a door handle. I looked at, I forget how many. By the way, Cindy picked this one out. But I looked at several, and all of them, none of them had door handles. So the artists have got the picture, they've got the right view of the Savior. He is not going to open that door. We have to open it from the inside. Our Savior is a perfect gentleman. He does not push down, break down the door of our heart. It is by invitation only. You know, we're living in crazy times. And the picture of this church worldwide, and maybe more just in the developed countries, I'm sure third world churches are much different. But your Bible's open to chapter 3. Let's revisit the church of Laodicea, depicting this last day church. It's entitled in my Bible, The Lukewarm Church. And to the angel of the church, I'm starting with verse 14, sorry. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things says the Amen and faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Let's just stop there for a minute and look a little deeper into this cold or hot. You know, if you drink a drink that's hot, it's, or when that's cold, it's for some reason more refreshing, more satisfying. But when you get something that's supposed to be cold or supposed to be hot and it's lukewarm, what do? You want to spit it out, don't you? Well, when we are spiritually lukewarm, what's the problem? We're comfortable. Is that such a bad thing, being comfortable? Depends on how you look at that word comfortable or that situation. Oh yeah, God wants us to be comfortable, but not comfortable in the sinful state that we live in. We have to be vigilant 24/7. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus all the time. If we're cold, we know it. We're feeling it. If we're cold spiritually, we know it. There's no doubt. When I was out in the drug culture many years ago now, praise the Lord, I knew it. But God would once in a while get through to me, and I would make some effort stumbling along back into the sinful state I was in. If people are on fire for the Lord, if they are kindling that spirit daily, they are on fire for Jesus. They know it. And they're getting closer to the Lord. It's those lukewarm spiritual people that are in the greatest danger. They're in the greatest danger because they don't know it. Let's read on. 17, because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy for me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, and that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. So, rich, wealthy, need of nothing. Spiritually speaking, what does this mean? Because you say doesn't mean that they are. Remember, they're lukewarm. Because you say, because they think, they believe in, with all their hearts that they're rich in their relationship with the Lord. They believe that they're wealthy, that they have a strong spiritual connection. They're going to church every week. What do you think? So what needs to happen to get out of that lukewarmness? I mean, they're naked and don't even know it. How can we, sitting here today, be sure that we're not naked? We're talking about Christ's righteousness now. How can we know? Well, one way is fruits. We can look at ourselves. Or, am I bearing any fruit? I picked a lot of apples this last week and a few pears. Yeah, most of the apple trees are fruitless now. Only the Gravensteins are remaining. But anyway, so we can look at ourselves inwardly. Are we spending time with our Savior every day? You see, friends, the church of Laodicea, today's church, just to go to church once a week can only make us lukewarm. Christ wants to spend eternity with us. And that eternity starts today. He wants to spend it with it every day, not just once a week. And so how do we get to that point? How is it that we can make that change? And he says, therefore be zealous and repent. Well, I'm already a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. What do you mean repent, Kelly? Repent of what? What does repent mean? It's like changing and going in a new direction, correct? If we haven't been spending time with the Lord every day, then that's, and we choose to start doing that, that's picking up that new direction. If we haven't been going to prayer meeting during the week, maybe we should be having a Vespers. if maybe we haven't been having small groups, whatever it is that we can add to our schedules to spend more time with Jesus, Bible studies during the week, whatever it is, let's do it. That's going to draw us closer. That's going to get us into the hot realm. Our next verse, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him. You know what dine means? It means that special time around the dinner table with your Savior. He wants to feed us all. When the disciples came back from that day gathering food at Samaria, they expected to see the Savior, who when they left was hungry, even more hungry, and he wasn't hungry. He said, I've had food that you know nothing about. Oh yeah, he'd been dining. This is what this is talking about, dining with. He wants to spend time. Friends, has your heart burned inside you like the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? Have you partaken of this food that he's talking about here? Oh, you're going to be on fire. And then the last verse. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Here it is. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hey, we all have ears, right? What is he saying? Are you spiritually understanding what Christ is saying here? What's it mean to be an overcomer? It means turning that do not disturb around to where it says, come in, you're welcome. And we do that by spending or hanging that door hanger that says you're welcome every day. We start our day with it. We start our day with it and we end our day with it. And all through the day, he's in our hearts. He never leaves. Even if you reject him, he never leaves. It's just that you do not get the benefit of his presence. Christ never leaves us, friends. We leave him. It's our choice. It's up to us. The Savior is waiting. Do you want to let him in? Will you join me with our closing song? The Savior is waiting.